today we're going to be talking about the church, because this is kind of the groundwork. This is the foundation of where we're at and what we're going to be doing. We are. This is who we are. And we're going to talk about two different classifications of church. One is big C church, and one is little C church. So we have it up here in all caps, so you don't know which one we're talking about right off the bat. But we're going to be talking about those two things, and we're going to be laying a foundation for a series that I'm going to be doing in 1 Corinthians. Going to begin on the 30th of January. I think it's the 30th. It's 2 weeks anyway. And that series is based upon a church that's in Corinth, and we're going to call this series Healthy Church. I think I've mentioned this to you before, but I've never preached through 1 Corinthians because it's such a scary book to me. it's a tough book to get through. You get into some of those latter chapters, and I tell you what, I'm still wrestling with them right now, and I've been studying this for almost 3 months, and I'm still wrestling with some of the stuff that's in there. But I want you to know that Paul writes this letter to a church in Corinth, a little C church in Corinth, okay, which is a city in Achaia, which is in the peninsula of what we call Greece. And so that particular letter is written to an unhealthy church. They are sick, really sick. And if you read it, and I'm going to encourage you, begin now to read 1 Corinthians. Just start reading it through, because it's a letter written from Paul, who is a pastor, to a church that he was the pastor of. And he's gone away from them now, and he's finding out through the grapevine that there are problems in the church that weren't there when he was there. And so he's writing back to the church, telling them, this is how you get healthy. So he reprimands them, but he also talks to them about it. And so we're going to be working through that, and this is a foundational message to that. But it also is a message for us as a church to understand, what is the church? What is the church? And if you would, you turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be starting in verse 2 of that particular chapter. But here it says here that we are the church. So the first statement that we need to understand is we, that is the people that are in this group right here that are assembled this morning, that are assembled every Sunday morning here, we are the church. Now it says, I'm writing to God's church. Now, that little parenthesis there is the Greek word for the word church, ekklesia. And ekklesia means an assembly of people. That's all it means, okay? It's not some spiritual term. In fact, it was used all over the Greek world. When people would assemble for a council meeting in a city, they called it an ekklesia. So it's not something special to us, except when you place it God's church, God's assembly of people. Then it makes a difference. So it has an adjective attached to it that tells us, what is this church? This is God's church, God's group of people. And then he says, it's in Corinth to you who have been called by God. So these people who are assembled have been called by God to be his own holy people. They've been called to be his children. So when we look at this, we think about this church. This church here is the little C church, okay? So the church in Corinth, it would be like saying the church in Hampton. So Hampton is in the state of Iowa, which is in the nation of the United States of America. Okay, Corinth was in the region or the state of Achaia in the nation of Greece. Okay, so it's kind of what it is. So this is a church that's in Corinth. It's in a city. And it is being bombarded by the culture of that city. These people, in fact, that's what makes up the church. The church is made up of people. It's not the building. We meet in a building, but the church is not the building. So when we say, I'm going to go to church, and we mean I'm going to go out to the church building, we're really saying it improperly. This is just the church building. This is where we meet, okay? But when we all leave this place, this is no longer the church. Okay, it's just a building, and it can be used for anything, so it really doesn't matter. This is not a holy place here, this what often people call the sanctuary, or we call it the worship center. This is not the holy place, okay? This is not, this God's only here when you're here, right? When you assemble, God's present. When you leave this place, God goes with you. He doesn't stay here and say, well, I'll wait for them for next Sunday. Okay? So it's not this place that makes it special. It's you, it's us people. The people who are called by God. And what does that mean? It means these people that assemble have placed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, it's not ours. It's God gave us the grace to do that. He gives us the faith to do that. And so it's God's work in our life that calls us into a relationship with Him. And we are in fellowship with God, and we are called the church. Now, the church in other locations in the New Testament is described as a human body. So he makes this illustration. He says, the human body has many parts, but many parts make up the whole one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us who are Jews and some of us are Gentiles and some are slaves and some are free, but we still have all been baptized into one body with one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So in your body, you think about your body, okay, you have one Spirit. There's not multiple spirits in you. You have one Spirit, okay, and you have multiple parts that make up this body. And when one of those parts is not working correctly, then you have a problem, okay? So let's just say one of your eyes doesn't work quite right, okay? You have an infection in the eye, and it's all mattery, and so you kind of always flicker on that eye. You know how hard it is to look at people when one eye is not working right, okay? So when one eye doesn't work correctly, the whole body is affected. Let's take another illustration. Some of us have broken legs before, okay? I've never broken a leg. I should knock on wood, but I don't believe that will help any matter. But if you break your leg, your whole body hurts, doesn't it? And you need extra help to get around because you need crutches or a wheelchair or something, because the body doesn't function when all the parts aren't working. And that works for internal parts as well as external parts. So Bob, he's calling us here. We are the church, a small C, as well as the big C. And the big C is the universal church. So the universal church is made up of all believers since Jesus to the time of the rapture, where we have all come to faith in Jesus Christ. And we entered into that body of Christ, through our faith in Christ. And so membership into the big C is an automatic deal. Automatic. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're automatically a member of the big C church, universal church. All the people who have ever trusted in Christ from the time that he was on this earth to the time when he will take his church home with him in the rapture, which, by the way, is coming soon, that is the big C church. That's big C. And every local church, every small C church fits into that church, into that big C church. So the little C churches around this community, okay, all fit into that church if they meet one requirement. What's the requirement? Faith in Jesus Christ, that he is my Savior and paid for my sins. That's the only requirement to be in the big C church. Here it says that we are a human body. We are an organism. Not an organization. That's a really important distinction. We have business practices, but we practice those things to give order to the church, okay? But it is not really who we are, because we are an organism. We are a life-giving organism and made up of multiple people who are feeding into that. And so we come back to this first verse here again. It says, that Jesus made us whole, excuse me, God made us holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So here he's referencing the fact that anybody who calls on the name of Jesus as their Savior is part of the church, both big C and little C. Now, I want to come back again to the first verse we were at, and notice here again, that this is the church in Corinth he's writing this letter to. So it's written to the church in Corinth. We are receiving it because God said this is important for all people, all churches to have. And this church in Corinth is a local church. It's a place where people said, I'm going to go to this church because I like what they're doing, or I want to be a part of this local church. By the way, local churches at this time were not more than 40 or 50 people, probably. These were not mega churches. They were not huge churches. They were small churches. And there might have been several of them in the city, okay? Several of them in the city, like ours, several people, several in the city. And so these people, we are the church, is the definition of the fact that we are the people. We make up the church. And the mission of the church is, and we don't have to stand on this one very long, but this is the mission, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Until I come to get you again, I'm with you to do this mission. That is, to evangelize the people who don't know Jesus. Evangelizing means to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ and ask God to change their lives, okay? And then to take those people who are new believers and train them in how they are to live this life, and we begin by baptizing them. Now, you know, an interesting thing is that God doesn't tell us how to get membership in the local church. He doesn't tell us this. He only gives us one requirement for membership in the Big C church, and that is your faith in Jesus Christ. When you place your faith in Christ, you're put into it. So when you think of a local church, all local churches have requirements, have things that they do. Now, the Bible, let me just be perfectly clear here. The Bible doesn't say you have to be a member of a local church. It doesn't say also that you do not have to have membership in a local church. It's silent on the fact. It doesn't talk about membership in a local church. It just says these people attended that church. Now, some people will say, well, that means that there's no membership attendance. There's no membership requirements because they just attended and therefore they were part of it. Okay, that works fine, except when you have to do spiritual discipline on a church. How do you discipline somebody who's really not a member or is a member? And so there are some other things that go on with membership, but the Bible is silent on local membership. It doesn't say what it is other than one thing, that is faith in Jesus Christ. And so when you come to the local C church, every local church that's a small C church decides its own membership requirements. That's what it does. We decided ours based upon what we believe was right, okay? That doesn't make it biblically correct or incorrect because the Bible doesn't say one way or the other on it. And so as a member, for membership in this church, you have to have faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, you need to be baptized by immersion because we believe that's what the Bible says. All right? Now, I'm not going to go into the baptism today, but those are the requirements, that you trust Christ as your Savior and then you give evidence of it through your baptism after you've believed. That's the reason we do it that way. So it's an evidence. And then we give the people who are baptized an opportunity. Do you want to be a member of the church? Do you want to participate in the church? And at that point, they say either yes or no. And we want to encourage you to consider being a member of the church because it is in that point that you have voice. You have voice in the church. And we're going to talk about that as we go through this. So how is it that the church actually does this mission that God has given to us? Well, the mission is accomplished through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit of God that He gives to every person when they are a believer in Christ build up the church. It makes the church grow. Now, growth is not just numbers. You can get a lot of people in a church. You can attract a whole bunch of people to a church. And they can be a mile wide and an inch deep. By that I mean they can have no spiritual maturity whatsoever. So one idea comes in and they move this way, and another idea comes in and they move this way. They just shift back and forth, based upon whatever teaching or whim of teaching that's out there on the internet. They move this way and they move that way. And so to build up the church, we need to have stability in people. We need to have maturity in people. So when they look at something, they say, oh, that's not biblical, or I'm not so sure about that. And they question what they're being taught, even from the pastor that leads the church. That's a good thing, folks. It's a good thing to have you question what you're being taught. Because it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. One of the gifts that the church does give, and we're going to go into these here just in a minute, is the gift of pastor-teacher. That's my gift. But it's not mine alone. There are people out there. There are some of you out there who have the gift of pastor, and some of you have the gift of shepherding, same idea, and the gift of teaching. And so, really, teaching in a church should come from multiple spots, and it does to a certain extent in our church. It probably needs to have a little bit more. But at the same time, understand that the spiritual gifts of a church build it up. And so here are the spiritual gift passages right here. Now, I want you to notice, if you don't know where these are, if you can find one of them, you can find the rest of them. Okay? Notice that 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, so 12:12, and then Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4:4. So that's the way I remember them. I just go to them, and then I start looking in those passages, and I run across them. So I want to read these for you today because I want you to be aware of the spiritual gifts that are available to us as believers. Now, we're not going to talk about them in detail, okay? But I want you to understand this is the way God builds his church up. And beginning with 1 Corinthians 12, 28, it says, here are some of the parts of God, parts God has appointed for the church, gifts, excuse me. First are apostles, second are prophets, third are teachers, then those who do miracles, and those who have the gift of healing, and those who help others, and those who have the gift of leadership, and those who speak in unknown languages. Now, we're going to talk about this later when we get into 1 Corinthians, but it's interesting to me that he enumerates the first three, okay, first, second, third, and then he lists the rest of them without having any numerals on them. He didn't continue fourth, fifth, sixth. He makes a distinction there because this church had a problem. The problem was, it didn't think the gift of apostle or prophet or teacher was all that big a deal. They thought those people with the gift of tongues and leadership and help and healing and miracles, those were the people that were really important in the church. And so they had it upside down because the apostles are the ones who are called to start churches. The prophets were those who brought the revelation of God to the people because they didn't have a Bible at that point. So they were bringing the revelation that was given to them on every Sunday morning, and then the teachers who were explaining what the prophets were saying. And so these are the gifts that build the church up. So let's go from there to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12, beginning with verse 4, says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, and we read that somewhere else, didn't we, in 1 Corinthians. So it is with Christ's body. We who are many parts are one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts who do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. And if your gift is serving others, serve them well. And if you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If you give, give generously. If God has given you the gift of leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing others kindness, do it gladly. Did you hear the gifts in there? There's the gift of giving. Some people have the gift of giving. That means they love to give, and they give a lot, and they don't want their name on it sometimes, okay? Then there's the gift of leadership. We need leaders. We need leaders in the church. And these church leaders, when they do what they're supposed to do, then they bring stability and maturity to the church. Let's turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: apostles, prophets, evangelists, and the pastor teachers. Their responsibility, listen carefully, their responsibility is to build up the church, the body of Christ. Excuse me. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Did you hear that? It didn't say they were to do it. It said they were to teach the body of Christ to do it. We all do the work. I'm here to teach you how to do it. That's what your pastors are all about. They're here to resource you to accomplish what God is asking us to do as a church. And then over in 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, it says in verse 10, actually, I want to touch on verse 7. Peter says, the end of the world is coming soon. Wow, he said that 2,000 years ago or more. Verse 10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Every gift is intended to serve the body. It's not intended for your own benefit. When you serve the body, you will receive from it. But if you serve yourself and don't give to the body, it's a misfunction of the gifts that you've been given, and the body is going to suffer. That's kind of like cancer. Okay? When the body starts to fight against itself or use it for his own personal benefit, then the body is cancerous and it starts to eat itself up. When you start to use your gift for your own benefit, okay, you're eating up the body of Christ. You're using it for your own benefit, not for his benefit. It says, do you have the gift of speaking? Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And then everything you do will bring glory to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. The point of all these things is that all that we do is to give glory to God. Now, some people say, well, I don't know what my gift is. And often people use that as an excuse. Well, I don't know what my gift is, so therefore I'm not going to do anything. Oh, may I warn you. May I warn you, please, listen up right now. If you've been sleeping, give me your ear. Because there's coming a day when you're going to see Jesus face to face, and he's going to ask for you, what did you do with the gift I gave you? And if you said, oh, I didn't know I had a gift, he's going to say, well, you had your Bible, didn't you? Why didn't you look and seek and find out what it was? Why didn't you search for it? You've been told you had a gift. Why didn't you do that? You will be held accountable for what you do in this body, and in this body, while you're here on this earth. As a Christian, if you don't figure it out, God's going to say to you, you're going to lose reward. You say, well, I don't care about rewards. No, you will care about rewards when it happens, because what you're going to do is you're going to get a reward for how you have served God. And then you're going to take that reward, and in front of Jesus on his throne, you're going to go and you're going to place that reward in front of him, and you're going to say, you're the one who deserves this. I don't want you to get to heaven and to see Jesus and have nothing to give to Jesus in worship of him. If you don't use your gift, you will not have a reward to give to Jesus. You don't want to be there, folks. And you have been warned by your teacher. Please don't do this. Please don't come to that point, because I want you to have a reward to give to Jesus, to worship him. And of all the things you think, well, worshiping Jesus, you know what? That's going to be the highlight of your day, when you can offer God what you have done on this earth to him, because what he's done in your life. That's going to be the greatest day of your life. And if you got nothing, you're going to be sorely disappointed. It's going to be a very sad day when that happens. 1 Corinthians talks about that, by the way, in 1 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. So you need to know your gift. Here's a place that you can look for it. Okay? This is a survey that you can take. It's on gifts.churchgrowth.org. Write it down, please. Write this down. This is what the website looks like. That's how you get started. You go down to get started on the individual use. It's absolutely free. You're going to answer a list of questions, okay? I don't know how many there are, but you're going to list some questions. It's going to give you a sample, basically a diagnosis of how you answer those questions. It's going to give you a start to your gifts. I know Dan just did this. How was it, Dan? Easy?
Yeah, it wasn't hard.
Not hard. It's not hard. It's going to start you off and say, this is what you need to do. This will give you your gift locations, and it'll start the process for you. If you have other questions, I'd encourage you, give me a call. I'd be glad to talk with you about your gifts. Or talk to the people who are around you, who know you. Because the people who know your gifts. You may not know them, but they know them. And they can help you identify them. And so go to that location for that. Now, the last thing I want to talk about today is this idea of membership. And I really believe God has laid this on my heart to give to you. Membership, as it says up there, for the Big C Church is an automatic based upon your salvation by grace through faith. And so that's why this says the church, large C, Christ's body, okay? You're automatically in this part of it. However, membership into the local body of church, into Faith Baptist Church, is based upon salvation by grace through faith in Christ Jesus and by baptism by immersion after salvation as a public testimony of your faith into the local church. Now, membership is important in any local church. You can attend a church and you can serve in this church. We do it all. We have it all the time happening. Okay, people come and they call this their church. It's their place. It's where they want to fellowship. It's where they want to worship, but they never go into membership. But they still serve. So we have people on the worship team who are not members of our church that serve, and so they're using their gift, but there's something that they're lacking. They lack the capacity to have voice, okay? Voice in leadership, voice in choosing a pastor. Now, we're coming into a time when this church is going to need your voice. If you're just attending here and they call this your church, you're regular in your attendance, but yet you're not a member, I will tell you something. You're going to miss something. You're going to miss something because when it comes time to vote on a new lead pastor, you have no voice. Now, you can talk all you want to the people around you, but they don't necessarily have to listen to you because you haven't put your name on the line. And so the voice you have when you are a member is different than your voice you have when you are just a attender. Now, I'm not talking about voting, okay? That's part of it, but it's not the biggest part. It's actually the voice. Second thing is, when it comes to leadership in the church, if God is giving you the gift of leadership, you can't participate in that leadership as a regular attender because you're not a member of the church. And so your voice in the leadership of the church is silenced. We have a limited amount of membership right now considered to our attendance. And part of the reason we're doing this because as a nominating committee, when we go down and we look at people to serve in this church, we'd like to tap certain people, but we figure out that they're not members, and therefore we can't tap them for it. And that's sometimes the real reason people say to me, well, I don't want to become a member because I don't want to be asked to serve in leadership. I don't want to do any more than I just want to do, and nobody's going to ask me to do anything if I'm not a member. And I say, oh, that's really nice, okay? You know, that's what my arm says every morning when I wake up. I'm not really in part of this anymore. I hurt too much. I'm not going to serve anymore. And so I got to use everything with my left hand. Okay? See, when you're not a member and you have no voice, you are part of the arm that doesn't work. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be real honest with you. We need you as a member. Now, some people say, well, I don't want to be asked. And I say, you know what? I understand that. I respect that, okay? But when you are asked to do something, don't you have a choice? Nobody's doing this to you, are they? Nobody's got your arm behind your back pushing you where you got to go. Now, God may be doing that to you, okay? But that's not what we do. We give every person the opportunity to say this. If you don't feel like this is the appropriate time in your life to do what we're asking you to do, then you're welcome to say no. Please say no if it's not the right time in your life, okay? But if it's the right time in your life and God's asking you to do something and yet you say, I don't want to do, what's that called? That's like your children, you're telling them to go take out the garbage and they say, I'm not taking out the garbage today. What do you do with your children who won't take out the garbage when you ask them to take out the garbage? What do you do to them? You put them in their room until they're going to go take out the garbage, right? What do you think God does to us when we say, no, I'm not going to do that? He disciplines us. By the way, if you want to understand about discipline, look at 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. Because it says there that some people were abusing the Lord's Supper. In other words, they were not doing what God asked them to do. And he said, some of you are sick and some of you have died because of your disobedience to what God has asked you to do. Oh, folks, do you not think that sometimes the sicknesses that come upon us are related to our lack of obedience to God? That's what he says. So if you've gotten sick lately, it may be related to sin. It may not be related to sin, but it's a good idea for you to ask God to say, is this related to something that I have done or haven't done? You've asked me to do this? You see, God is very interested in his church. You know why? Because you are the body and he is the head. The head controls the body, doesn't it? And when the body doesn't work properly, he either takes care of it or he disciplines it so that it will do what it's supposed to do. You see, membership, and I want to encourage you in this. If you haven't become a member of this church and you're waiting because you don't like the idea of baptism, I'm just going to say to you, please, just get over it. This is what the Bible says. This is the obedience that God has called us to in the Scriptures. If you haven't looked at the Scriptures and studied them out, if you can show me where it says I don't have to be baptized in the Scriptures after I believe, please come show me what that means. I don't see it, and I've studied it a lot. It's not present. Believers' baptism after you believe, that's what it says. If you're hanging on to something in the past, onto some other religion or some other faith that has said your infant baptism is sufficient for the following baptism, it's not present. It's not present in the Scriptures. So if you're hanging on to that, beware, again, of the Lord Jesus' accountability to you. Now, I'm just simply warning you, okay? I got just a few more weeks with you, okay? And so, from my perspective, I got nothing to lose but to tell you the truth up front, unvarnished. This is the way it is. Please, understand, I say it out of love, not out of wanting to twist you. I want you to come into eternity with all of the benefits of having good teaching and responding to it. That's why I'm doing this. In fact, I believe that's what 1 Corinthians is going to be. Every week you're going to get my unvarnished truth that I found in the Scriptures. And I'm sorry if it hurts. But as a parent, I remember saying to my kids, I'm sorry if this hurts, but it has to hurt for you to get anything out of it. So as a father, as a pastor, the same things. So here's some ministry opportunities that you have here. Assimilation. I don't know if Deb's here today. Is she here? Oh, stand up, Deb. I'm asking each one of these deacons to stand up. This is Deb Lukensmeyer. She's the deaconess of assimilation. You can sit back down. If you would like to be a part of that, and if you want to know what it means all the things that we do around here, in other words, all the functions, the meals and the coffee and the faith cafe and the making people feel at home, like this is their place, that this is their home. That's what assimilation is, helping people assimilate into the body. So getting them from going from this room into the grand foyer and stick around for a little bit, and then hopefully eventually get them to go into the faith cafe, have a cup of coffee, have a cookie. It's not about those things. It's about people talking to people. And so that's what assimilation is all about. Children's ministry. Boy, this is taking a lot longer than I thought it was going to. I got to hurry up here. Children's ministry, Rosemary. If you like to work with kids, if you would like to work with the children to teach them to disciple children, this is the lady you want to talk to at least right now, okay? Youth ministry, Dan and Bill. I don't think Bill's here. Is Bill here? No, I think they're sick, aren't they? So Bill Reckenbacher and Dan Albers are the ones who are working with our youth to disciple them, and they need a team of people to help them because they can't do it alone. Discipleship Thomas Creighton in the back there. This is the adult discipleship wing of teaching, okay? So it's the life groups, it's the Sunday school, it's the men's ministry, it's if there's a women's ministry, that would be underneath that, so that's what that is. Evangelism, Ashley Schrock. Ashley's right here. This is training people to share their faith in Christ and giving them opportunities to do that, okay? On a large group basis, okay? So that's what that's about. It also has to do with our missions. So they kind of cover all our missionaries. Finance, Jennifer. You just saw Jennifer a little bit ago. You know, every church functions with money, okay? And she is over all of that, dealing with the intake and the outgo of money, all right? And making sure we're good stewards of it. Properties, Dan Creighton, right here. This building, although it's not a church, it's where we meet, and it takes maintenance. Maintenance on the outside. You know what? If Dan wasn't doing this this morning, you would not be able to get in here to church because there would be 12 inches of snow in the parking lot, and it would not have been scooped. Okay, so properties, that's what they're doing, taking care of the inside and the outside of the building. And then worship and prayer, Dean Mayer. Dean's back here. That's the Sunday morning services. It's the prayer, corporate prayer times. It's the encouragement to pray. It's dealing with all the behind-the-scenes stuff that takes to make this thing work on a Sunday morning. That's what it is. Those are opportunities. If you're interested in those, talk to those individuals that you just saw. And if God pricked your heart, do so. The last one is eldership. Eldership is our elders, and I just have all our elders that are here just stand. If you're an elder, please stand up. Okay, we've got two over here, and we're missing a couple of them. So anyway, these are elders, and they are overseeing the entire structure of this. They work in partnership with me, with your lead pastor. And I am happy to say that we're really strongly looking at adding three elders to our elder list this year, and we're losing two because they roll off on a rotation, so they get a year off. But anyway, elders are the ones who help give the direction and vision for the church, as well as working directly with their pastor to accomplish those things. So this is the church. And in order to have your voice in those things, specifically in choosing an elder and choosing deacons and choosing a lead pastor, you need to be a member. So I want to encourage you, become a member. We won't ask you to do anything for over a year. That's in the Constitution, actually. We can't. But we will ask you after that. And you're welcome to say no. But I want to encourage you. Become a part. Become a member of this church. You know, God is in the business of laying a foundation. And sometimes I wonder why he gives me the words he gives me to say. And I always believe that they are foundational for what's coming. Okay? So next week, we're going to listen to Steve Anderson, who is an ex-pastor here. He served right before me. I like being here when Steve's here because I like talking to Steve. Steve's a great guy. Steve and Sharon will be here sharing about Acts 1-8 ministry or Project 1-8. And then on the next Sunday, we're going to start into 1 Corinthians Healthy Church. I want you to be a part of that. And I also encourage you again, take your Bibles and start to read 1 Corinthians. And if you get all the way through it in one day, read it again. In other words, don't just stop with one reading. Read it several times because it's the kind of book that's going to take you several readings to figure it out. All right? So we'll be getting to that in 2 weeks. Boy, it's 10:41, and I want to say to you thank you for listening this morning. Sometimes it happens this way. This is the way God does it. So would you bow and pray with me? Father God, I thank you for speaking through your word. Thank you for speaking through me. Lord, I believe that your words come through your instruments. And I pray, Father, that you would use these words to benefit the body, to build it up. Lord God, I pray that you would protect us as we go through these transition times. Father, there's lots of stuff out there that is in our culture and is in our world that is really dangerous stuff right now. And I pray, Father, that you protect this church and the man coming into here, that they would not be influenced by the culture around us, that we would grab onto our right to be a member of this church. Lord, I pray that you would move people in that direction. In Jesus' name we pray.